U.S. senator says former President Donald Trump's pullout of the 2015 deal with Iran was, quote-unquote, the dumbest foreign policy decision in the last 50 years. Thousands of Americans signed a petition to demand a halt to Israel's ethnic cleansing in the Negev Desert. The U.S. tells non-essential embassy staff to leave Ukraine, citing what it calls, quote-unquote, the threat of military action from Russia. Welcome. An American senator has described as the dumbest foreign policy move former U.S. President Donald Trump's pullout of the 2015 deal, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. In a tweet, Chris Murphy said the withdrawal from the agreement was one of the most dangerous foreign policy decisions in five decades. He added Trump went ahead with withdrawing from the accord despite opposition from some of his cabinet members. Trump unilaterally pulled out of the deal in 2018 and reimposed sanctions on Iran. Ever since, Tehran has called for Washington to rejoin the accord and live up to its commitments, which include the removal of sanctions in a verifiable manner. However, new U.S. administration under President Joe Biden has not only failed to do so, but has continued with its predecessor's policy on Iran. A new poll reveals that Americans were worried about the rise of extremism and right-wing militias in their country. The poll conducted by The Economist and YouGov reveals that more than half of Americans view right-wing militia groups as a threat to the U.S. A third of those surveyed say such groups pose an immediate and serious threat. 81% of Americans also view domestic terrorism as a threat. People affiliated with the Democratic Party are more concerned about the rise of right-wing militias in the U.S. compared to the Republicans. 1 year into the presidency of Joe Biden, the U.S. remains divided both as a nation and as a democracy. Here in this report, we'll take a look, a closer one, at how Biden has failed to bring America together.
Today, on this January day, my whole soul is in this, bringing America together, uniting our people, uniting our nation.
That was how Joe Biden laid out the path for his presidency during his inaugural address on the 6th of January, 2021. It came after supporters of his predecessor Donald Trump raided the Capitol Hill in a deadly unrest because the former president refused to accept defeat and claimed an election fraud. Speaking exactly a year after he took office, Biden said he had not overpromised in his inaugural speech on what he could achieve. Yet a review of the status quo in the United States tells a different story. Back in October, a poll showed that 41% of Biden's supporters and 52% of those who voted for Trump want Republican and Democratic-led states to secede and form two new countries. The divide continues to define the American society and politics to the day. On Thursday, the U.S. Senate blocked Biden's key legislation to protect voting rights for African Americans and other minorities, especially in the Republican-controlled states. Democrats pushed the legislation amid restrictive voting in some Republican-led states, which Democrats see as a slow-motion coup to retake the White House in the next presidential election. Republican-led states also moved to restrict teaching critical race theory in schools. That's teaching students on the history of slavery and racism and how they shaped U.S. institutions and policy to ensure the dominance of white people. One such ban did actually become law in Mississippi on Saturday. The debates hark back to racial tensions triggered by the fatal shootings of African Americans, which have ignited some of the most serious social unrest of the modern times in the U.S. A case in point in the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse in November. The not guilty verdict in the trial was an affront to those who saw the teenager as a murderer, butting into a protest against racial injustice and killing two demonstrators. The ruling, however, was a gift to those who saw Rittenhouse as a right-wing patriot. Over the past year, the U.S. has also seen huge divisions among Republican and Democratic voters over such issues as the conservative-led push to restrict constitutional abortion rights, obligatory vaccination against the coronavirus, and even Democratic-led attempts to curb access to guns. These have also been key areas of political point scoring among Republicans and Democrats.
One thing I haven't been able to do so far is get my Republican friends to get in the game of making things better in this country. I did not anticipate that there'd be such a stalwart effort to make sure that the most important thing was that President Biden didn't get anything done. Think about this. What are Republicans for? What are they for?
Deep divides have always been there among Democrats and Republicans and their supporters, but the Capitol Hill insurrection seems to have radicalized things. Trump continues to enjoy backing from Republicans after he triggered the insurrection by the claim that Biden won the election by vote rigging. This has polarized American politics more than ever before. The insurrection has also sent reverberations through the American society, dividing people across political and racial lines.
Over 3,000 Americans have signed a petition calling on Secretary of State Antony Blinken to intervene to stop Israel's ethnic cleansing campaign against Palestinian Bedouins in the Negev Desert. The region makes up almost half of the area of historic Palestine. The petition has been launched by Code Pink, a women's organization that supports Palestinian rights. The petitioners say the Jewish National Fund has been planting trees to displace Palestinians in the Negev. They've asked Blinken to immediately halt the afforestation on the land used by the Palestinian Bedouins. The petition details how the fund was established in 1901 for the purpose of buying and developing land for Israel's settlement construction. Code Pink notes the fund plays a central role in the plans to expel Palestinians from their territories. Journalist and political commentator Sayed Mohsen Abbas says extremist Israeli groups are seeking to force Palestinians from their homes as part of systematic oppression against them.
It just shows that the belligerence of the establishment and the use of NGOs and religious extremist organizations, Jewish religious extremist organizations, is just something which is part of the systemic discrimination, institutionalized oppression of Palestinians who are living under the rule of the Israeli regime, the occupying regime. And of course, they've displaced, just over the last couple of years, thousands of Palestinians from within Israel and the occupied West Bank, including East Jerusalem, as a result of home demolitions and the imposition of other coercive measures. And Israel's forces continue to use excessive force in these areas on their own citizens inside supposed Israel and within the occupied territories. And they do this during law enforcement activities, but they also do it, as they're doing in this instance, through third-party organizations. They're then trying to step away and make it look like it isn't some sort of official government policy. Yet we know that all of these kinds of organizations, as well as the extremist right-wing, if there can be such a thing in Israel, given that the whole state is exceedingly right-wing and fascist.
The United States orders the families of its diplomats in the Ukrainian capital to leave, citing what it calls the threat of military action from Russia. In a statement, the State Department has also authorized the, quote, voluntary departure of its non-essential staff in its embassy in Kiev. Washington says all Americans should consider leaving the European country due to a continued Russian military threat to Ukraine. The statement calls on people to leave using all options available. The department also warns U.S. citizens not to travel to Russia. Washington had previously issued the highest level travel advisory for Ukraine. It had also warned its citizens that they should not anticipate there would be U.S. government-sponsored evacuations in case of a war with Ukraine. In case of a Russia-Ukraine war, that is. Let's discuss the severity of the situation with Mr. Dmitry Zolotarev. He is a journalist and political commentator who comes to you live via Skype out of Irkutsk in Russia. Thank you very much, sir, for giving us your time, your understanding of the situation. Do you think the situation is perhaps escalating into more serious lookings?
There is such thing, but it exists only in the minds of Western warmongers. There is Ukraine, there is Russia, and there are Western countries which desperately want implement more sanctions on Russia, and they are desperately looking for pretext. So they're using Ukraine for that, because they have failed before with other pretexts. So they desperately want to stop Northern Stream 2 into Europe, and so they cannot use Europe as much as they used to do that before, so they are trying to act through Ukraine. You know, if Russia wanted Ukraine, it would have it a few years ago. Because if Russia would want Ukraine now, it would get it in a day without any difficulties from the Ukraine side. And there is no matter how many weapons the United States or Great Britain supplied into the Ukraine, it's absolutely nothing against Russia. The thing is, Russia doesn't want it, you know? It's like having something, having Ukraine for Russia is like having something which, costs more to have than not to have. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that it's a regular show off of Western democracies and staging the taste of threat in the eyes of the United States public and the European public, and nothing more. Well, the address to Russia's military exercises not far from Ukraine's border, you know, it's Russia's territory, and there are a lot of army troops are settled there, so Russia, well, is free to exercise any things on its own territory, since it doesn't violate the law, which it doesn't. So this is just a regular show off and another pretext. They are planning, actually, I think they are planning some provocations on Donbass from the Ukraine side, and they want it to look like it would be Russia's aggression if Russia acts in address to defend Russia's citizens who are settled in Donbass, which are many. So maybe it's a plan. The thing is, for now, there is nothing like Russia's threat to Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what is the main what's the catch here, Dmitry? Help me understand this. Would you say that the West is really worried about the territorial integrity of Ukraine, or perhaps looking at a larger picture, it is really looking to contain Russia?
Well, the West is nothing but has its own interests in oppressing Russia. It just uses Ukraine. The West doesn't care, absolutely doesn't care about Ukraine. They don't care at all. If Ukraine burns out the next day, the West doesn't care, since it looks like Russia has burnt it down.
Mm.
There is no interest for the West but to accuse Russia in anything which is happening to Ukraine. The Ukraine's whereabouts, well-being or anything else is absolutely no concern of the West.
Mm-hmm.
The West just uses it, and in cold-blooded way. So the West doesn't care how many people in Ukraine would die if they trigger war in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to look like it is Russia's aggression, nothing more.
Sure. Many, many thanks. That's Mr. Dmitry Zolotarev. He's a journalist and political commentator who came to you out of the city of Irkutsk in Russia. Many, many thanks for joining us. and have a good day. The second batch of U.S. weapons has arrived in Ukraine amid rising tensions between the West and Russia over a potential conflict in the region. Ukraine's defense minister says more than 80 tons of U.S. weaponry has arrived in Kyiv, adding that this is not the end. Kyiv previously confirmed that as the first consignment of the U.S. weapons was, quote, 90 tons of lethal security assistance. Britain has also sent several consignments of weapons and elite British troops into Ukraine, but not all NATO members agree with the arming of Ukraine. Germany has refused to deliver arms to Kyiv. The West is accusing Moscow of amassing troops near its border with Ukraine in anticipation of an incursion. Russia, however, says the move is defensive amid concerns over NATO's eastward expansion and military activities near its borders. Thousands of people stage a rally in the U.S. against a government anti-COVID measure, including mandatory vaccination. Demonstrators gathered on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. The crowd then headed to Lincoln Memorial, with some carrying signs reading, "Coercion is not choice," a choice that should be. The virus-related curbs have apparently polarized the country. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court halted President Joe Biden's vaccine mandate for employees. Many Republican-governed states are also refusing to abide by Biden's call for Americans to wear a mask. That despite the virus keeps surging and taking a toll on the country, the U.S. remains the worst-hit country in the world, both in terms of cases and related deaths of coronavirus.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Iranian president's visit to Moscow and a cordial meeting with his Russian counterpart are indicative of the importance and depth of the two countries' ties that cover various fields and are rapidly expanding. Dear listeners, in this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Kayhan International staff writer. This article is published under the heading Sky is the limit to Tehran-Moscow cooperation. Stay tuned, please. The Iranian president's visit to Moscow and cordial meetings with his Russian counterpart are indicative of the importance and depth of the two countries' ties that cover various fields and are rapidly expanding. Dr. Sayed Ebrahim Raisi and Vladimir Putin both realize that the sky is the limit to the relationship between the two independent powers, which besides commercial exchanges, ought to collaborate with each other as well as with other independent countries on the regional and international scenes in order to protect the interests of the free world. Tehran and Moscow are already cooperating in Syria and have succeeded in saving the legitimate government of President Bashar al-Assad from the terrible plot of the terrorists to dismember an important Arab country. Now they are all set to help Damascus in the reconstruction phase along with another major world power, the People's Republic of China, which has also told outsider U.S. to stay away from Asia and stop its destabilization of the countries of the world's largest continent. As a matter of fact, the trio, that is Iran, Russia, and China, possess the political will as well as the natural resources to build a formidable bloc, along with the other independent countries, to thwart the devilish designs of the Americans. China needs plenty of fuel for its expanding industries, and both Iran and Russia are awash with hydrocarbon resources to meet its needs. As the world's top two countries, blessed with underground natural gas reserves, the three countries share the same views regarding Afghanistan, which has lately been freed from the two decades of U.S. occupation, and are resolved to ensure that Kazakhstan remains independent of Washington's meddling. Whether it is the West's incursions into Ukraine or the U.S. provocations in South China Sea and the Persian Gulf, Tehran, Moscow, and Beijing are determined to play the pivotal role for resolution of conflicts and restoration of peace and stability. The military exercises among the navies of the three countries are part of the efforts to test the prowess of their forces in the case of emergencies. This does not mean that Russo-Iranian or Sino-Iranian ties are solely military in nature. No, the purpose of the three independent powers of Asia is to safeguard the security of the region and the world. And this includes busting of the West's hold on international commercial and financial exchanges through the economic terrorism in the form of the illegal sanctions. The ties ought to be so strong that no sanctions can affect Iran, Russia, and China.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone, and congratulations to all on the birthday anniversary of the most noble lady ever, the Holy Prophet's daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. Today, which is celebrated as Mother's Day and Women's Week in the Islamic Republic of Iran, we now present you some food for thought on how devoted this lady was to God and to humanity, even during her nuptials, in order to save the destitute from the problems of life. On her wedding night, someone knocked on the door and said, "I asked the household of the Prophet to give me an old dress." At first, Fatima thought of giving her old dress, but then remembered the words of God in the Holy Quran, which say, "By no means shall you attain righteousness unless you give freely of that which you love or prefer." Then she gave the poor person her new dress, an act that pleased God and conveyed this divine satisfaction through the Archangel Gabriel to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny.
you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend and esteemed guest, Sayyid Muhsin Naqwi, from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. It is said, not only in Islam, but in all of the Abrahamic religions, that Allah, God, is more loving than a mother. If that is the case, the poser of this question says, why is it that we do not see this love? Astaghfirullah, but it is the poser of the question who says this. So Sayyid, what do we answer to this question?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a good question, obviously, and it's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It more relates to the theological discussions, basically,
right,
that we have, which is related to our beliefs. We believe, and also, obviously, in the narrations, it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves more than the mother.
Right.
Now, the one who has asked the question, the brother or sister, they have said, like, why we can't see this?
And they're troubled by many problems, financial issues, familial issues, so many problems.
The first question which I want to ask them, that what do you mean by seeing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That, you know, obviously everyone has a criteria. Everyone looks at a scenario through his own perspective, according to his own perspective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us more than the mother. That's the first thing. When we look at the mother's love, what we see is whenever we have financial issues, okay, sometimes, or maybe when we are learning, sometimes they do not help us. Why? Because they want us to learn and they are training us, basically.
Why?
Sometimes they are taking a trial of us, because when I say Allah my mother, or I can do this and that, there's a trial. They leave us on our own, but ultimately we see that they are helping us. Okay, maybe, you know, a kid, when he is doing, he's cleaning the house, the mother is not giving the money for cleaning the house, but rather she is giving a piece of cake,
right,
or a sweet as a gift, or as what you have done, or being a good child.
As a reward, yeah.
As a reward. So there is ultimately, there is a reward from the mother. But on the other hand, but when we look at the mother's reward, it's one reward and not much. On the other hand, when we look at the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actions and how he gives us a reward, he says, when you perform a deed, I change it to 10. I, like, multiply this deed.
Right, your hasanat.
To hasanat,
your
or good
deeds.
Deeds into 10 good deeds.
Right.
There are sometimes, he says, I multiply it to 70 times. And there is sometimes 100 and 200 times, or maybe 1,000 times.
Right.
So it depends on our actions, how we are doing, what we are performing. The love of Allah, if the love of Allah is only and only in the money,
right,
you know, then obviously
if we
are limiting, we are limiting the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
Whereas, for example, yes, I do not have money, for example, I do not have money, but alhamdulillah, I have health, I'm healthy.
Right.
I do not have money, but I have inner peace. I do not have a car or bike to, for example, you know, being worried about it, it's being stolen and all. So I'm free of a lot of worries that are in the life. So the stress which I could not bear, Allah is not giving me that stress, because Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah do not put stress or pressure on anyone except he can bear it. So I need to first think or believe that what I have in my life, it's according to my own bearance. The amount of bearing a stress, that amount which I have, this is what Allah has given me. And this is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he hasn't put a lot of pressure on me. He has given me the pressure of or the amount of what I can bear. And this shows the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first thing. The second thing is when we talk about the rizq, sustenance, we generally limit the rizq into the financial terms only, unfortunately. And these financial terms which we talk about, this is not the rizq only. The rizq is about the knowledge that we have. It's the kids that we have, the life that we have, the health that we have. If my eyesight is good, if I'm healthy,
success.
The spirit, the inner peace, the success that you have in your life, the family that you have next to you, the friends that you have. Obviously, all these things are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The life or the amount of greed that I'm taking, it's been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what He has given me. He has allowed me to live in this world with a free will that I can choose between good and bad. And I need to choose the good. Obviously, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. And on top of that, Allah is merciful. You know, every powerful person or the superpower, when we talk about them, when we say them by, can you define yourself? Or can you explain about yourself? They say we are the superpower. For example, we have these many tanks or planes or the
they
atomic
describe
bomb,
how powerful they are.
How powerful they are.
Right. Only.
And they say, like, we have invaded this country, that
right.
country, we can do this and that. When we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, can you explain about yourself? He says, open my book and you will find me. When we open his book, the very first phrase, the very first verse in the Quran says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is how he is introducing himself. In the name of Allah or God, or with the name of God, who is the beneficent and merciful. So he's introducing himself as the beneficent, being beneficent, and the merciful. He's not saying, I am Qahhar or Jabbar, I'm powerful, I can.
He is that as well, but he starts off by also saying,
he is also
the merciful. Ahsan.
He is that. He can show his power. He can talk about his power, that if
right.
you do not obey me, I will do this and that and all those. No. He is just introducing himself by being the most beneficent, the most merciful.
Right.
Now, this shows that Allah is the merciful. And, you know, there is a time when mothers, they leave their children when they're a lot of angry. But about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have, like, in the Dua Arafah, this is one of the supplications by Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Arafah. Ya man sabaqat rahmatuhu ghadaba. O the one whose mercy takes over his anger.
Right, precedes his anger.
Precedes his anger. Sabaqat, yes, preceding. His mercy precedes his
anger.
Ghadaba, anger.
Right.
That's why we say he is most merciful, and that's how he introduced himself.
So from that aspect, he's loving, logically, even more than a mother, just from this point of view.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
And on the other hand, even if Allah does not give us, for example, you know, if the criteria is the money, if He's not giving us what we want, He even has said that if you do not get this in this world, I will give you in hereafter.
Right.
A better reward. Whereas if mother is not giving something, there is no reward after that.
Right, it is done.
It is done.
Right.
She did not have anything to give, for example, but Allah do have. But when He's not giving because of some reason.
Right.
It's not for our, you know, it's not in favor of us.
It is not for our benefit.
It's not for our benefit. That's why He's not giving us
many
such
reasons.
A thing.
Just about the same philosophy of Bala. Why are some people so troubled? Why are some people see so many problems? Why is that dude rich and I'm poor? There are many reasons.
There
many,
are
many,
many
reasons.
There
that
there
does not mean that Allah
yeah.
is not more loving than a mother.
It's all trial, basically. He said
right.
it is the trial. Sometimes He give money to some people and trial them. takes their trial, that what they do with this money.
Exactly.
On the other hand, he takes away the money from some people, and he takes the trial. Because, you know, according to some narrations, we have this, that if Allah hasn't given money to someone, it's because if that person would have, if that person will get the money, he will become rebel.
He will turn his back on Allah.
Yes,
exactly.
On Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So Allah has safeguarded this money from him, so he does not sin.
Yes. It's just like, you know, we differentiate between our kids as well. Some kids, we allow them to use the knife.
More responsible.
They're more
mature.
More responsible.
They understand.
They're more mature. They can cut the vegetables, or, you know, they can help, or the fruit. But for some kids, we never allow them use the blades or the, you know, the
We have
the
saying, a very famous saying, money changes people.
Yeah.
And some say, no, it doesn't. It isn't money that changes people. It just shows their nature, their true nature. And that's up to philosophical standpoint.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes when he's not giving us those blessings or what we want, it's because he wants to save us.
Not giving is a blessing in itself. It is a rahmah in itself.
Yeah. It is rahmah, it is mercy. Why? Because he wants to enter us into the heavens.
Right.
And therefore he knows that, obviously he is alim, he knows everything, he's almighty. He knows that we will misuse what is being given to us. And obviously later we are answerable. And on other hand, I have a question from those who ask such a question, who raise such a question,
right,
that how much waste do you have in your life? You know, israf. How much wastage have you done in your life? How many things you wasted in accordance to, like, in relation to the money, in relation to your energy, in relation to your time, in relation to be with the family, with the friends? The opportunities which were given to you and you wasted those opportunities, just think about those things.
Right.
When we have wasted all many these things, then by having money, nothing's going to be, you know, being solved.
Right.
Nothing will be solved by the money, because we will also waste the money.
Exactly.
So this
but
is
at least you will waste less if you're poor.
So basically we need to make ourselves accountable for what we have, and then raise such a question. But yes, definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has even love of more than 90 mothers. He says, if you want to, in one of the narrations,
if you want
he said,
count.
If you want to compare the love of Allah with the love of mother, he loves 90 he loves
90
equal
times.
To 90, 90 times of one mother. So a mother just love you as a mother, but Allah loves us more than a mother.
Right, Sayyid. So just a question I wanted to ask you personally. Do we see religious people, actual religious people, are they usually poor or rich? Because if they are religious people, then Allah would give them more rizq, right? Is this logical to assume, or is this a fallacy?
Well, definitely the religious people have more money, more sustenance, let me say sustenance, than the non-religious people. Why? Because it is the religious people who are the prophets, who are the imams, who are the saints, and they have control of the worlds as well in their hands. So all the treasures of this world or the worlds are in their hands. For example, the Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein are the religious people who are the masters of the paradise.
Right.
Their mothers, as Fatima, the Lady Fatima is the master of all the women of the old world.
Right.
And the Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad is the cause of the creation of the whole universe.
Right.
Allah has created the whole universe because of them. On the other hand, we have other saints as well. There are many stories about the mystics, Urafa as well, who know how to change the clay into gold and all those. So we have all these things. There are many stories and there are the real things, but obviously we know that the real sustenance or being rich is being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, you will have this world and hereafter.
Can we say, dear Sayyid, on a final note, that you who has weak iman and you are poor, that's the reason?
Yes.
And on that, we will end today's program. I thank you, dear Sayyid, and also thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. Fi amanillah.
إن في الجنة نهرا لبن إن في الجنة نهرا لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين علي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news, with delight. In the world of art, a Japanese artist named Sachi is creating incredibly realistic felted wool portraits of cats. Sachi calls her artworks Wakuneko, which directly translates to frame cat. Her work is highly popular, and she has more than 600,000 followers on different social media platforms. Each portrait takes a whopping 1 month to complete. The crafting process starts with Sachi looking at dozens of photos of the cat she wants to replicate. Then she prepares the required materials before preparing the foundation and mounts the felt onto it. The most difficult part of the job is making the subject's eyes. According to Sachi, it is also the most special stage.
I think that the moment when the cat's spirit enters into the artwork can be presented through the eyes. In that sense, I have been very particular about how to make the eyes.
Sachi's portraits have inspired people around the world to adopt homeless cats. Now she hopes to hold an exhibition showing various cats, including ones with physical handicaps, in order to inspire more adoptions of shelter cats.
Traveling around the world is a wish a lot of people have, but never actually get around to it. However, this Belgian-British girl has achieved that feat at only 19. Zara Rutherford flew back home on Thursday to a crowd made up of family members, friends, fans, and journalists. She completed her odyssey after just over 5 months traveling over 52,000 kilometers. Zara is the youngest female in the world to fly around the globe. She achieved this using a micro-light aircraft, which weighs only 325 kilograms and has very low fuel consumption.
The plane obviously is a bad for the environment. I'm not trying to claim that it is, but I have chosen one of the best aircraft to do it with. The fuel consumption is amazing. For this whole trip, it's used the same amount of fuel as a Boeing uses in about 10 minutes for the whole trip around the world, which I think puts things into perspective. Obviously, it is bad, but I'm really trying to minimize my impact as much as possible.
Zara says the scariest part of her trip was flying over the frozen expanse of Siberia, a place with no human habitation close by. The teen adventurer also had to deal with different countries' health restrictions. Zara had to take multiple PCR tests on her journey, while China's COVID-related regulations meant she could not use the country's airspace. Now Zara says she is glad she can stay in one place for a few months. Who knows what her next adventure will be? The Chinese New Year is less than 2 weeks away, and millions of people around the world are in festive mood. In Vietnam, people are preparing to buy each other a special gift. Since this year's animal zodiac sign is a tiger, figurines shaped like the animal are in high demand. The Vietnamese are making, selling, and buying gold-plated tiger models to commemorate the New Year. Making these sculptures is a lengthy and difficult process. It usually requires clay and copper, which are painted, gilded, and polished before being covered with 24-karat gold sheets. People tend to purchase these gifts for the luxury they evoke.
Possessing a zodiac animal model made with precious material such as gold would mean its owner is in the high class in society and is successful economically.
The gold-plated tiger model will firstly bring a luxurious feeling, and secondly, this tiger with wings model shows my hope for my works to take off and have some breakthrough in the new year.
The intricate artworks find their way to gift shops all over Vietnam. They usually sell for between $300 and $3,000. Disability is not an obstacle to success. A group of Japanese with disabilities has proved it as they create incredible handicraft and make a living this way. A shop called Amayaka offers the items made by these disabled individuals. Located in a Tokyo neighborhood, it showcases products ranging from scarves and bags to glassware and colorful cards. Mayaka and all other workshops are part of a new movement aimed at promoting works of people with impairment. In just one of the workshops cooperating with Mayaka, about 20 disabled people are working over there. However, organizers of the movement say these people are still invisible in the society and are not paid fairly for their works despite being experienced in craftsmanship.
Some workers here have a career of more than 30 years. They have been weaving since their school days. They are so experienced that we should refer to them as artisans.
The organizers say they hope that their initiative will promote the works of the people with disabilities and help the society to start thinking about the way disabled workers are being treated. Turtles get a second chance to spread their fins after being found with bellies full of plastic. They were rescued and are now being released back to the sea in Argentina. Two green turtles and four loggerhead turtles were saved from fishing nets in Buenos Aires province. The group was taken to Grupo Marina Foundation, where they recuperated after purging 10 types of plastic from their bodies. Rehabilitation of the turtles lasted over a month and included blood tests and other procedures to make sure they were free of plastic. A biologist with a foundation says the danger of plastic is that it's silent and usually its dangers are so gradual that it goes unnoticed.
Many times the animal appears to be in perfect health. However, during the checkup and evaluation, we found a large amount of this material inside. So it is important to get rid of the plastic before the condition worsens and it ends up causing the deaths of the specimens.
The turtles had mistakenly eaten plastic, thinking it was food. Wind, waves, and sunshine break down discarded plastic into tiny pieces, which litter ocean waters. Much of this plastic waste can be found on beds of seaweed that turtles forage for food. This trash ends up fatally clogging their bellies, causing the decline in the population of these graceful reptiles.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The Indian-administered Kashmir has the world's only floating post office. A 200-year-old houseboat on the famous Dal Lake in Srinagar, set up during the British rule in India, the post office has survived throughout the years because of its charm. Our correspondent Shahana Bhatt has more.
The Indian-administered Kashmir was once a princely independent state, out of bounds for outsiders. as the ruler of Jammu and Kashmir disallowed non-locals to own property in this picturesque region. During the British rule in the Indian subcontinent, many Britons tried to find an alternative way of living in Kashmir. Thus, houseboat on the world-famous Dal Lake came into existence. Today, the lake is a home to hundreds of such boats, which are a major attraction for tourists around the globe. This one is a unique boat, the only floating post office in the whole world. This is a 200-year-old boat built by the British. It has truly stood the test of time, as it still functions.
Post office, Dal Lake.
This is not an ordinary post office. We're standing on a heritage property. I've enjoyed my work since the very first day I came here. It's a unique experience to be working here, and every day I get the chance to meet people from different corners of the world.
The boat is not limited to postal services. It also has a small museum where colorful stamps from the 1980s are put to display, along with a collection of rare filet-lay stamps. The post office is a hot tourist destination in the region. Locals also come to this post office to send postcards to their loved ones, inviting them to visit Kashmir.
Floating post office.
In the age of technology, electronic mail, e-cards and other internet applications have made it extremely easy for people to communicate. But sending a postcard from the floating post office gives one a really different feeling.
The floating post office underwent reconstruction in 2011 and is currently a part of the Indian postal system. Recently, the office started offering banking services, thus attracting more locals.
I have opened an account here for my daughter. It's hassle-free and this place suits my mind. It's not like the usual offices. Visiting this place with kids is like a trip.
Yet another attraction of this post office is this souvenir shop, from where everyone can buy postcards, stamps, traditional crafts and greeting cards.
This floating post office in Kashmir's Dal Lake is like a time machine. It brings people back to 2 centuries ago and shows them the history of the beautiful region. Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Now let's go to Germany to hear the heartwarming story of how technology is turning a young boy's life around. 7-year-old Joshua has a severe lung disease which has made him unable to go to school, but now he can attend his classes from home with the help of an avatar robot. The device sits in Joshua's Berlin classroom, enabling him to listen to the classroom in real time to what his teacher and classmates are saying. Joshua can even interact with everyone else by making the robot display a blinking signal.
Each year, a village in Vietnam becomes awash in red and orange as it gears up for the Lunar New Year with spectacular mass production of incense. January is usually the busiest time when villagers are dyeing, drying and whittling bamboo bark to make the fragrance sticks. Also, the scent of each batch is carefully tailored to suit the tastes of the regions where they will be sold. Most households here are involved in this ancient trade, and sales are a major part of their livelihoods. The Lunar New Year will begin on the first day of February. Around this time, sales tick up with throngs of people crowding into temples to light incense during worship.
The chronic shortage of human organs has always been an issue for patients, especially those suffering from heart diseases. But now a major scientific breakthrough is in the making. U.S. surgeons have successfully implanted a heart from a genetically modified pig into a man. Doctors had said the patient, 57-year-old, was unable to have human transplant because of his health conditions. But now he is recovering from his latest surgery. The surgeons say the man is being carefully monitored to determine how the new organ is performing. But for those who want to know why pigs, here is why. Pigs are considered ideal donors because of their size and rapid growth, among other things.
You know, it is a game changer because, you know, now we will have these organs readily available if this works. And, you know, and I hope it will work. We'll have these organs available. We can, you know, we have the technique of genetically modifying. So if there are more tweaking required for modifying the genes, we will be able to do that. And, you know, can you know, customize basically the heart for or the organ for the patient.
The transplant is the first of its kind in the world and follows years of research. In the U.S. alone, about 110,000 people are currently waiting for an organ transplant. Also, more than 6,000 patients die each year before getting one. Kingdom of Ice and Snow. Don't be surprised. It's an international sculpture festival held annually in the Chinese city of Harbin. This year, the venue brims with sports elements in a runner-up to the 2022 Winter Olympics scheduled in Beijing. The annual Winter Festival is the largest of its kind, where sculptors spend weeks using ice and snow to create structures under a given theme. The upcoming Winter Games is the theme this year, as one can visualize giant statues of Bing Duanduan. The adorable panda mascots are major attractions of the exhibition. The chief designer says an ice tower standing in the center of the park features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics.
In terms of the design concept, the sculpture features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing. The spiral array form also indicated the proactive spirit of the Olympics. The free and upward effect is a vivid presentation of the Olympic flame.
The annual festival, which is being held for about 3 decades, usually attracts domestic and foreign tourists. But COVID-19 restrictions have limited the crowds over the past couple of years. Harbin is located in northeast China and receives cold winter wind from Siberia. An average winter temperature there is around minus 17 degrees Celsius.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
As an enabler of the unlawful killings and the illegal occupation of Palestine, the U.S. must end its complicity and begin holding the Israeli regime accountable for its actions, says Malak Shalabi, writer, in an article titled, "The Israeli Regime Forces Killed a Palestinian U.S. Citizen. Why is the U.S. doing nothing?" Stay tuned for more.